Welcome to eClad Chat. eClad Chat. Streaming live to you from eClad's hidden gem in Midtown Manhattan. eClad Chat is down-to-earth broadcasting on big city events and the events industry, as well as fashion, jewelry, accessories, and lifestyle coverage in an intimate NYC way. Join us each and every Wednesday with host Casey Benane as we chat up industry happenings, industry news, and perform live interviews with industry talents here on Blog Talk Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Interested in contacting us or interested in attending one of our live shows? Email us at y-cladchat@y-clad.com. eClad Chat begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello everyone, I'm Casey Benane and welcome to eClad Chat, where we chat up big city events, fill you in on industry news, keep you in the know with fashion and style, with a focus on jewels and accessories, touch on lifestyle education, and keep you abreast of industry content that will develop both your personal and professional lives. And of course, with me today, I have Miss Kaylin Burke.
Yes. Hey, guys. And I have to let you know about eClad's Hidden Gem promotion for this month. It is the last week for this promotion for April, and it's $100 off your total venue rental booking of 4 hours or more. So, you know, we've been talking about this all month long. It's a great promotion to save money. And if you're looking to rent this space, you might as well save the $100 and book right here. And for more information on eClad's Hidden Gem and our rental options, you can call us at 212-644-6445 and talk to a representative about your event.
Yeah, last week, so take advantage of it while it's still available. And so before we move forward, we just wanted to, like, you know, talk about today's show. It's actually our 50th episode. Yay! It's so exciting. So today's show is actually a pre-recorded show. We've done a number of pre-recorded shows this season, more than last, actually. But they've all been super amazing. A lot of times, I think what happens is that, you know, we have high-profile guests, and they're flying in from town, so from out of town, and so they're not available to do the show live, but we couldn't pass up opportunities to, you know, talk with these people. But that said, we've hit the 50...
Yes.
The 50 mark, the 50 episode mark, and it's just so freaking exciting. Okay, so I guess, you know, I don't know, what do I say? It's been amazing. I think when we set out to do this, initially, we didn't know where it would go.
Yeah.
And so now we're here.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, it's great because we've met so many great people, all the guests, and I think you guys also have enjoyed the, like, variety of people we've had.
Yeah.
Which has been fun. They've all had different stories, different experiences.
And so and all the things that we've learned, of the content and information that these people bring in that we wouldn't have normally have access to if they didn't come on the show to do it.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's been great. And so hopefully we'll be able to do it for, you know,
another 50.
I know. So just really quickly to let you guys know, on today's show we have Ray Edwards Jr. And so Ray is a former defensive football player for the Atlanta Falcons who has transitioned into boxing as a heavyweight boxer, fitness model, and coach. And Kaylin's going to kind of do a recap really quick.
Yes, so if you missed last week's show, we had a really informative show with Rochelle Magno, and she's the founder of Lash Gallery, and we didn't really know the importance of, you know, lashes.
I
didn't know it was like a thing, like going to a specialist and getting
lashes. Either.
I thought you just bought them from, like, CVS and stuck them on your face. I
didn't think exactly that, but
people really went to do it.
Like,
you know, it's like a really normal thing. I thought it was like a celebrity LA kind of thing. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, no, I agree.
So it was awesome that she was telling us, you know, this whole new perspective on it and how, you know, normal people can just go get this done. And she kind of creates eyelashes that she thinks will work best on you, and eyebrows as well. She's helping women who have survived cancer and or battling alopecia, and helps them with, you know, putting eyebrows in if they want, you know, the look of eyebrows or lashes. And so she told us all about women who need her products at the Lash Gallery and gave us a lot of advice about how to be a successful business owner. So it was a lot of fun.
It was a great show. I don't mean this in a bad way, but it was unexpectedly great.
Oh, yeah.
Just from an information perspective.
I didn't know anything about it, so it was, like, great to learn.
Yeah, and then I think we probably thought, like, or at least I thought, like, you know, I mean, how much could we really talk about or say about lashes?
Yeah.
But it ended up being, like, you know, it ended up being a really great show.
So that is on Blog Talk Radio right now, and you can listen to that episode as well as our other 50. other 49.
Okay, guys, so we're going to jump right into our show, and today we have a special, special guest, Ray Edwards, who is a former defensive football player from the Atlanta Falcons, who is now transitioning from football to boxing, right?
Yes.
And also into fitness modeling and coaching,
absolutely,
right? Okay, so let's get right into it, and let's start with, tell us a little bit about you in terms of, you know, who is Ray on a personal level? Like, what do you like to do?
Me, on a personal level, I love to have fun, love to joke, love to go to comedy shows, love to go to the movies, ride my motorcycle, shoot guns. More of a homey person, you know, sit back, Netflix and chill, and just,
So, do you live in Atlanta?
No? I live in Atlanta and Cincinnati.
Okay, so you're between?
Between.
Okay.
Yeah, awesome. And tell us a little bit about your background in athletics, because you have a lot of different athletic
backgrounds.
Yeah,
I'm more like a renaissance man. You know, I can do it all. I played football, basketball, baseball, track, everything growing up. Lettered in football and basketball in high school. Then I went on to Purdue University and played 3 years there. And then I got drafted by the Minnesota Vikings. I played 5 years there. And then I went to the Atlanta Falcons for 2 years.
So now that we know and understand, you know, where you're coming from, and so now we want to transition into boxing. Tell us what that whole transition was like. What made you think boxing after, you know, football?
Boxing always been something I wanted to venture in since I was a little boy. Wasn't able to go to the boxing gym when I was younger due to the cost of it and the availability of it in my neighborhood. So I picked up the next best thing, which was football and basketball, whatever I can get my hands on, pretty much. And I've been training in boxing since I was 21 years old. And then when the lockout came in 2010, I pursued boxing even more because I didn't know when the lockout was going to end. Didn't know how it was going to go out, how it was going to turn out for me. So
sort of like a backup plan?
Backup plan, but also a bucket list type of thing that I felt I can do and I felt I can be successful at, and I've just been going forward with it ever since.
So was the transition difficult because you kind of went from football to boxing, and did people give you a hard time about it, you know, being taken seriously since you just kind of joined boxing?
Oh, absolutely. People are still giving me a hard time about it. Now, you know, just because they don't like the sense of somebody thinking, well, they can just come into this sport, which is very grueling and very demanding, and being successful at it, for one. There's a lot of guys who did it who didn't take it, I guess, seriously and has failed, so they think I'm just another guy who's going to fail at it. But I think I've proved people wrong through my track record that I'm always willing to work and put in the work and do well at what I try to do and excel at it as well.
For people that might want to, you know, take a leap from maybe whatever it is that they're doing now or not doing, you know, per se, because, like, with the economy that we have, like, there's just so much going on in terms of people loss of jobs, you know, not having something to do financially or professionally. Okay, so I say all that to say, to ask you, you know, how difficult was it for you to transition, but rather, like, what was the process? And then let's talk about the training also. Like, is the training, because, you know, football, boxing, although they're like physical sports, I'm assuming that, you know, it's like the training must be different. There's different things that go into it. Like, how do you make those sort of transitions?
You just got to do it at the end of the day. You can't be scared. You got to have faith, and most importantly, and once your ability and once in the man above, they're not. He's going to give you what your heart desires at the end of the day. And he knew what I wanted. He knew what I wanted to do. And I'm doing well at it, and I'm continuous. Yes, it's a hard process, but, you know, in this world, nothing comes easy, especially now, and with our economy and how it goes. But I put in the due diligence and, you know, getting the right people around me to help me get to where I need to go to, that pedestal and to that.
Makes that transition a little smoother for you.
Make that transition a little bit smoother. It's still rough.
Right.
I'm still going through the no rocks and gravel.
What about the training, though? Like, is it, like, you know, I'm into fitness heavily, and so.
Okay. I can tell. You look very good.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. So how, what is that, like, what's that process like? Is it similar to
night
football?
And day.
Okay.
It's night and day. Way more running, way more conditioning. you know, not, I guess not growing up really in it is a very learning curve you got to do. You do a lot of studying. It's very difficult. You got to condition the mind as well as the body.
Yeah.
So, but the conditioning is, the workouts are totally different. You got to do a lot more running. Football, I might go run a mile.
Maybe some more weight training.
I might run 3 miles a week. Doing boxing when I was, I mean, doing football when I played football. Now it's up to 14, 15 miles a week. So it's a huge difference.
Yeah, it's different.
And also, you are a fitness model, and you know, you are athletic background, but fitness model is kind of like a different thing from the sports world.
Yeah, right.
So what is that like, you know, since it is so different? Was it hard to get into that, or you know, what have you been doing so far?
It's a little bit of both. You know, everything, people don't want you, people, most people want you to stay in your lane. If you're a boxer, they want you to be a boxer. Yeah. If you're a football player, they want you to be a football player. And like I joked before we started, I'm like, Renaissance man, I don't like being put in a box. I don't want to be in other people's boundaries. I want to do what I want to do, and I want to have fun with what I want to have fun with. And the fitness model thing is just all about having fun. I love doing it. I'm sorry to say, but I don't really like having clothes on. So, but I work hard for my body. I don't mind showing it off. Women get to do it all the time, so why not? I can, you know, you got something to look at as well.
What is that experience like? Is it sort of like for me, you know, as a woman, I feel like that would be, not being in that industry and saying, okay, I'm going to go model. Like, I would be intimidated by that world, by like, you know, I don't know, the things that come with that, or maybe even the work that's required for, I mean I don't even know, is it work? Yeah, I guess it is work, like, you know.
Yeah, so it's definitely work. Definitely some photographers can be a pain in the butt, but they can't beat me at the end of the day, so I have fun with that. Most of them think they're scared of me.
Okay.
But I have fun with it. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work, and it's very hard to get in the door as a fitness model, just because I'm not the phototypical type.
Right.
So it's hard to just make my own lane. You know, sometimes when you don't have a lane, you make your own, and, you know, it can be bigger that way.
Yeah.
True. And where can we see some of your fitness modeling? I'm sure some of our listeners are very curious.
Yeah, right?
There's a lot on my Instagram, I believe.
Okay, cool.
Ray_Edwards Jr. And just all around the internet. Just look me up. Google me, baby.
Google him. Okay, so earlier we allowed you to look at our, you know, awesome, don't...
You're no. Right, it was awesome. Awesomely terrible.
No,
no, that's not true. If you guys have if you guys have watched it, then you know that he's not telling the truth. So, you know, okay, so we've created this whole challenge to, like, sort of get people active and fit, or, you know, just kind of... wanted them to get off the couch or whatever it is that they do, you know, sitting behind a desk or whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways we thought we can do that is by dancing. You know, a lot of people don't like going into the gym.
Right.
You know, they're not, there's like all these different
reasons. They're not
reasons
confident,
you
know, right, with their body to go into the gym.
Right.
They don't want people looking at them and staring at them.
Yeah, that kind of thing, right? So we thought this would be a great way to kind of get people involved and sort of like just moving.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Oh, it's called Hit the Quan Challenge.
It's the Hit the Quan, of course.
You
that's
haven't
important.
Heard that, yes.
Okay, so, you know, first, you know, I know you mentioned that you didn't think it was so great, but, you know, what do you think about our concept? Let's talk about the concept. We don't have to necessarily talk about the video itself and the artistic work that us three girls placed and, you know, put into it. Yeah.
Right. It's a good challenge for some fact, like I said, just something that's fun, something that might get people to just to surround themselves around it, to actually get them up off the couch and actually do something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a way to, like I said, implement music, implement dance, something that people really enjoy doing instead of going to the gym, which is definitely a great thought.
Yeah, exactly.
Great
idea. Yeah.
Great thought.
The thought that counts. And so for you personally, how do you kind of incorporate fitness and working out into your everyday life? And it's kind of like a lifestyle for you.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle to me, you know. But to my thing to people who just at a home that just really want to actually do something, it's easy. I mean, a lot of people watch TV, so every time a commercial come on, and most people don't want to watch commercials, get up, do jumping jacks until your show comes back on.
Oh, I like that idea, actually.
Run the place to the, you know, your show
the
comes back
show
on, or, you know, get down and do crunches till your show come on. So it's something that you can do that's very easy, because, like I said, once you come home and relax a little bit, you want to sit down and watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something you can do in between commercial breaks.
Is that something you do?
Don't fast forward. Yes, it does. I have to get in at least 500 to 1,000 push-ups a day, so I do it in between then.
Wow.
Oh, wow. I'm going to try that, see if I can hit 500.
No way.
Well, I always start the morning off with 250, so that gives me a head start, so I get the rest of them throughout the day.
Wow, that's really intensive.
In a row, or you take how many?
I do sets of 25, and I do crunches in between.
Okay.
Which is,
25 is still difficult.
Yeah.
No, you can start out with 10, 5, 5, 10. You can do a lot of sets.
So, Kaylin is kind of like fit challenged.
She's fit.
I'm dance challenged, and she's.
I always did sports, so then, like, not being in sports anymore, it's kind of like, what do I do to work out?
Right.
Like, I like doing sports to work out. I don't like going to the gym to work out. So.
Yeah.
You can pick up a game of basketball.
Yeah.
I'd say a lot of people go to the gym and play soccer a lot.
That's true.
They do those, have those aerobic classes. They look funny to me.
I hate
so it's something that's athletic, something that's doing it. Even boxing. That's more of a thing now, right now. So the kickboxing and the boxing is a great workout.
Yeah.
Not even like really running or doing it, just hitting a bag for 3 minutes is tough. People don't realize how tough it is. So that's a great way to work out as well.
Finding something's kind of fun
that
for
you enjoy, that each person enjoys doing, you know, for themselves and just
You
just gotta challenge yourself. I mean, that's what I do a lot. I jump rope. I've never been a good jump roper, but I challenge myself to do that at least 3 minutes straight to try to, you know. But at the same time, it's cardio and it gets your heart rate up and it works you out. You get a nice sweat going.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's jump into your nonprofit foundation, the Halo Project.
Uh-huh.
Tell us a little bit about that and what you're doing with it.
The Halo Project is still in the beginning stages. We're working on just helping out single parents, period. I wouldn't just say single mom, because there's a lot of single dads out there as well, to help them get over that hump, to help them, you know, meet ends. You know, now it's a lot of money that has to be paid to play sports.
Yeah.
It's not as like it was when, you know, when I was coming up, you just had to sign up and you go play.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's a more of a thing that you have to pay to play. And just, like I said, everyday things. Sometimes you don't have enough to meet paycheck to paycheck to make sure things work. So we're going to try to implement in a way to help those parents meet ends and not make it so hard on them.
Okay. And you also, you know, want to expand that into working with kids and kind of encouraging them to stay physically active. So you mentor some students. So what is that like, and how has it been, like, interacting with the kids? Do you have any stories from that?
I love interacting with kids. It's so funny. Like I said, in the boxing gym, we actually have an amateur boxing program, so I see the kids every day at the end of my workout. So I sit, talk with them, give them shirts from my training camps, and just give them advice. Even, you know, reward them on good grades and stuff. So it's just a thing to, like I said.
What would be, like, a reward? Just, you know.
Oh, cash, of course. cash, one guy, he likes a belt that I wear that's name brand. And I told him, you know, it's a big tournament called the Silver Gloves. I said, you want the Silver Gloves, I'll get you one. You know, and it's because it's just like you want to reward those kids who actually stand out the streets, stand out of the trouble, and doing something positive with their life. You know, it's very, very far and few in between now that, you know, kids actually want to do something with themselves. And definitely want to reward them and keep them on the right track. I mean, that's what helped me get where I am today.
So, what exciting projects or events or anything that you may have coming up that you'd like to share with us? Is there anything?
Yeah, working on my own promotional company right now for boxing, not only for myself, but also for other guys who's not getting the same notability that they should be getting due to, you know, the vast majority of guys, if they're not Olympic hopefuls or made it to the Olympics, they don't get the same boost of confidence from promoters and things like that. So just helping guys reach to where they want to go, reach their goals, and helping them learn the game as well, but they won't get taken advantage of, and at the end of the day, be broke and back to square one once they finish.
Right. That's so important.
Yes.
It's just
you're clearly very busy. There's so many things at once. Yeah. Okay, and then finally, we ask all these questions to our guests on eCloud Chat. We kind of modified them
a bit.
But we focus on, you know, business and event and fashion news. Mm-hmm. So these questions kind of tie into the whole theme of the show. So the first one is, what is the most memorable event that you've ever attended? And what made it so, you know, stick out in your mind?
I'll say, I don't know if it's an event. I mean, Mayweather fight, I got to meet. I got to meet Magic Johnson, Don Cheadle, Little Kim, LL Cool J. I got to meet a lot of stars that I watched growing up, and it was a great event.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. And the event itself was cool.
I was just going to say, like, how was the fight? How was it being a fighter watching a fight? You know what I mean?
Oh, it was great. Mayweather's one of the best of our era. I mean, he is the best of our era, without a doubt. And it was a great, great experience to see how he do it and see how he put the work in and became one of the greatest.
Yeah. Okay, so this has nothing to do with boxing, but let's start with you, and then I'll transition into a woman, right?
Well, that sounded weird.
I know, that came out really weird. But
you don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. Okay, so what would you never ever leave the house with? Whether it's like an accessory.
Without.
Did I say with? Sorry, yeah. Without. Without. Whether it's an accessory, I don't know, jewelry.
Some item.
Yeah. Is there something that you, like, you're getting ready to leave the house, you're like, okay, you know what, I have to make sure I have A, B, C, like, I don't know.
You want three things or one?
Well, it'd be nice if you give us three, but if one is all you got, we'll take it.
No, I'll take definitely. You gotta have my wallet. I got all my cash and information in there just in case
totally
something
a dude.
Happens. gotta have a cell phone in case something happens.
That's
and
true.
Next, probably.
We got that answer yesterday, which was the first one we've ever gotten that answer.
Yeah.
With a cell phone, which is it's so
dumb. You can't see nobody today without a cell phone.
That's true.
Period.
That's true.
That's what caused many accidents. And then there'd be my cross train. I'm a very spiritual person, and I just need to have it on me.
Okay. Now, I'm going to transition to the question for a woman.
I want.
So, you as a man,
right.
What do you think should be the three essential things that a woman should not leave the house with?
Without.
Why do I keep saying with? Oh my gosh, I'm just
like you should be catered towards like jewelry and accessories.
Right. So we're trying
to
tailor the questions a little bit towards you.
What they want, what they should not leave the house without as a woman. Definitely lip gloss.
That's important.
Hey, your lips gotta look nice. I like a nice set of perky, juicy lips. And it's glossy, it looks good.
Okay.
A necklace. I think a necklace would be a nice accessory.
So a woman walks out her apartment and you're like in your car or something, you see her. The first thing that you notice is her lipstick then her necklace.
I don't know if that's the first thing.
I know, I'm just asking because I'm thinking if he's saying, okay, lip gloss, like these are the essential things. So I'm thinking these are the things that he's probably looking for as he's like, I don't know, wherever you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Okay, so.
Because the necklace is going to lead you to other things. And then
that's what I was thinking. I don't think you notice someone's necklace the first time you look at her. Oh, she's got a real nice necklace.
No, or if she got a nice neck accessory, then you like it leads you right to the bosom area. But then,
you know what?
And then, like I said, everybody needs a cell phone just in case.
I walked right into that one.
It's okay.
Yeah, I did. Okay.
Okay. And then, do you have a favorite designer that you constantly wear or just like?
Designer. I actually like John Valvados.
Okay.
Yeah. I like his stuff. It's nice. I like sheer type of stuff, and he makes it nice stuff for guys.
Yeah, he's a popular like menswear designer on the runway or red carpets. Yeah.
What about like? Are you other than your necklace of your cross chain? Uh-huh. Are you a jewelry person? Are you not?
I'm a jewelry person. I love earrings. I love watches.
And is there like a particular designer that you go to or you gear towards when you're shopping for accessories or jewelry? It could be no. I was just curious.
No, not really. I mean, I just like the Rolexes and different watches. I love watches. I love almost all types of watches as long as they look nice.
Okay. How can our listeners find you? Or I don't know, I was gonna say contact you, but I don't think you want anyone contacting you. So, like if they were interested in things that you're doing and want to know where you were, if there's show or something going on, like
so
give us your social handle. Yeah, your fitness line.
Right.
Let them know where they can.
And your website as well.
Yeah, my website is RayEdwardsJr.com. My Instagram handle is Ray_EdwardsJr. That's all I got out there on the social media.
Okay.
Aspect.
Well, thank you. Thank you
thank
for taking
you
the
so
time
much.
To talk with us.
Thank you for having me. It was a great time. We can do it again anytime.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So we would like to give a special thank you to Ray Edwards Jr. for joining us on today's show. It was fun, and it was really an unusual show for us, but we had lots of fun with Ray, and he's so handsome, cool, and just like...
Cool. We've never had an athlete on the show.
No,
so
actually, no.
To have our 50th episode with an athlete is pretty cool.
Woo-woo.
Right? Maybe there'll be more next season.
Right? You never know.
So we're going to jump right into, well, actually, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we return, we're going to, Kaylin's going to give you the featured designer, or the designer feature, I said it backwards, and we'll also give you guys the news and events for this week.
Engage in style and perform in elegance at eClad's Hidden Gem Gallery and Event Space. eClad's Hidden Gem is an 1,100 square foot venue in Manhattan's premier Midtown East neighborhood that blends both contemporary style and elegance to create a sophisticated events venue. eClad's Hidden Gem provides an intimate, luxurious, and exquisite setting. It hosts everything from cocktail receptions, bridal showers and parties, to pop-up shops and product launches, art shows, photo and video shoots, and corporate style conferences, seminars, and presentations at an affordable price. eClad's Hidden Gem is located at 122 East 57th Street, New York City, 10022. If you're looking for a beautiful yet affordable venue for hire, then eClad's Hidden Gem is your venue of choice. Head over to y-cladshiddengem.com, email us at hiddengem@y-clad.com, or simply give us a call at 212-644-6445 and rent eClad's Hidden Gem today. Make it what you want. eClad's Hidden Gem.
Welcome back, guys. We are back with the designer feature of the day, which is the Joshua Tree Chain Wrap Watch by La Mer Collections. I am wearing it today. Super fun and girly and also practical because you can tell the time. And so it's an extra long pink and white layered leather watch strap, and it's topped with gold rivets, and it has the signature La Mer Collections rose gold Odyssey watch case, so nice and pretty. And it's also topped with multiple gold-plated stainless steel chains, and it's 22 inches long, and it has a half wide strap buckle closure, so it's like one of those cool wrap watches that goes around like three times.
And the color is perfect for spring and summer.
Oh, yeah, it's nice, like, what's this? Like a beige.
Like a cream.
Like an off-white. Yeah. Off-white, and then the light pink, and it is nickel-free, which is great, and handcrafted, as all of our products are, and you can get it on eclad.com.
Yes, go buy it. Okay, so we're going to move right into girl talk. I'm excited about this. This is something that we just kind of, like, we didn't have a name for it, I don't think, before, but we've kind of inserted it in the past two shows, and so we're going to have Sarah come on in, and we're going to talk about what everyone's talking about, Beyonce and her visual album, Lemonade. So Kaylin is going to just hit play for a second, and you guys are going to just hear a little snippet of, you know, the song that's causing all the controversy. It's leaking out the back door. He only want me when I'm out there. You better call Ricky with the good hair. You better call Becky with the good hair. Yeah. So there seems to be all this controversy around Becky with the good hair.
Who is Becky?
I'm not sure if I even care who Becky is, but it seems like the rest of the world seems to care. Yes. But just, you know, before we even get into the whole Becky thing, just, you know, Lemonade is a visual album, and a number of the musics are, you know, the I guess she sort of segmented the video into these various pieces. Or, I guess, musical pieces. Yeah. I'm not sure what, you know.
They all tell a different story.
Right, right. And so, in it, you know, each piece or each segment has a title, and the song kind of correlates with that title. And so the titles that she had were Intuition, Denial, Apathy, Emptiness, Resurrection.
And Lemonade, it tells the story of infidelity and reconciliation, which you can hear in the lyrics and kind of the visual aspects of it. Mm-hmm. It includes a number of piano ballads, country blues with injections of funk and gospel. So, you know, different kind of styles thrown in there.
Yeah, and the video setting was a major part of the entire production. It, first of all, the whole production was just phenomenal. Like, I was really blown away. I mean, we're talking Beyonce, so of course it'll be great, but it was more than what I expected. It's mainly filled with Southern history, a plantation house, muggy porches, and swampy scenery.
And she had a lot of guests in the videos as well. She had Serena Williams and Daya, the mother of Trayvon Martin, and the mother of Michael Brown.
Okay.
So big statements as well.
Yeah. So this visual album not only touched on infidelity, it hit, you know, feminist, is it feminist or is it feminism? I don't know. Well, I guess feminism is the act of, so I guess the feminist movement,
yes,
as well as political statements.
Yes, and I was going to mention that all the guests in her video, they have some sort of, you know, thing that they've been known for saying, mm-hmm, like Zendaya when she had her hair and she had,
yeah,
like all that trouble with, like, oh, it's like a black hairstyle.
Yeah, yeah.
Who said that?
Julia Rancic. Yeah.
Yes, I think we touched on that.
I never knew who she was until that happened.
Yes. So it's like she kind of stood up for herself in that situation. Then Serena Williams with the, you know, women getting paid less in,
right,
tennis, and then you have that aspect of it. And of course, the mothers of Trayvon Martin and Michael.
Right.
It's the same kind of thing with the.
Yeah, I mean, their sons were killed.
Yes.
By police officers.
So she clearly,
today,
like, purposely chose, you know,
yeah,
who was going to be the guest, and they all had a different kind of perspective that I think she shared with,
yeah,
like, her
so
own
the
thoughts.
Album was totally strategic.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so Sarah's going to join us, and we're going to get the 411 from her on what's happening on social media, you know, regarding this whole Lemonade Becky scandal thing or whatever.
Yeah, so basically, within the first few hours, the video got 4.1 million tweets.
Wow.
So a lot of people were talking about it, and a lot of people were focusing on the Becky with the good hair.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so a lot of people thought it was Rachel Roy because Rachel Roy put out a tweet saying, good hair, don't care.
Yeah.
Like with a picture of herself. So then, like, a lot of people attacked her on social media. Then she came back and said, oh, it was just like a random comment, didn't mean anything. And then people started attacking Iggy Azalea over it, saying that she might be Becky with the good hair. And
I think with that, what happened was, like, a few days before the actual production came out, she was wearing a bikini with lemons on her breast. So, like,
yeah,
that struck, like, but anyway, go
but
ahead.
Then Iggy Azalea came back and said that, oh, you're only saying that it's me because, like, Becky's a white name and I'm white, and, like, was basically saying it was, like, racism against her, which is ridiculous, really.
Yeah.
And then
it got intense.
Yeah, like, and then
I didn't even know that happened. She responded.
Yeah. Most people have been praising the video, though, and saying it's really good. It's really,
yeah,
good for, you know, empowering black women, especially,
yeah,
and it's for black women. Like, Nylon magazine said that the video is for black women, that, like, white women can still enjoy it, but it's a celebration of black women.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, female empowerment, I think, with Serena Williams and everything in it.
Yeah.
You know, like, Serena Williams is actually, like, you were saying about, you know, the thing with her not being paid. She was also attacked when she was supposedly in a relationship with Drake. A lot of people attacked her for her physical appearance, saying she was very manly and,
oh, yeah,
and things like that. So,
yeah,
I think that's really interesting because Beyonce has also been attacked for, like, being too big and, like, things like that.
Yeah.
And thick thighs and things like that. Which,
what do people say about me then? No, because these women are beautiful and I'm by,
yes,
no means, you know, as fit as they are, or right, but I'm a curvy girl, so it makes,
yeah,
me think, like, should I just stick my finger in my,
but no. I think it's, like, it's nice that she's celebrating different kinds of beauty, because then,
yeah,
she has Winnie Harlow, the model in it,
oh,
who,
yeah,
suffers from the
vitiligo,
yeah, and she was saying that Beyonce approached her to be in the video, you know, so she's celebrating all different kinds of beauty,
yeah,
not just, like, you know,
one, you know,
yeah,
I don't know, magazine, or, you know, what we consider to be
stereotypical.
Yeah.
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 And, like, a lot of people said, Pharrell Williams came out on Twitter and said that we need this kind of video,
mm-hmm,
that we need this kind of music, that, you know, other celebrities come out saying it's a creative masterpiece on Twitter,
yeah,
and everything like that. So it's been mostly a positive response, except for Azealia Banks, who had a very...
Well, no one knows anything about, and I don't even know what
she
sings. What does she sing?
You know the 212 song?
No. Are you going to sing it for us?
No, I'm going to make a show of myself by singing. you know the song.
I don't know the song.
Okay, well, like, I'm not going to sing it, but,
oh,
you guys go.
On,
it was really, really, really famous, that song.
No.
The 212. Oh, well, I'm not going to go because I'm just going to look like an idiot. But, yeah, she came out and said that, you know, she was, like, being contradictory because she always asked people to, like, bow down to her and be a queen. And then now she's saying that she's with everyone, but I think... Because she always says crazy,
yeah,
things.
Yeah, and I don't recall her saying, I mean, she has a song called Bow Down, but it's theoretical, like, everything, I feel like it's just, it's art. It's not,
yeah,
she's not saying literally, when you see me on the corner, bow down, you,
yeah,
know, she's, and then also, it's also in reference to, I guess she's asking for respect for, you know, the work that she's done thus far, you know, people,
yeah,
are constantly tearing her down, and she's saying, you know what, no, I'm,
and that can go back to, like, empowering black women as well,
right,
because, like, you know, as a black woman, she's been, like, you know, more criticized and things like,
mm-hmm,
that, especially for her appearance and just in society in general. So, you know,
yeah,
for women power. And then the final thing that was like Twitter controversy and on the news was there was a lyric in it about her father that people said suggested that her father mm-hmm. was like hitting her and things mm-hmm. like that. And he came out against it and said that it wasn't true, but then that's another controversy that it's brought up. So
yeah.
No wonder so many people were tweeting about it.
Yeah.
What is fiction and what is real? And this is like the main thing people are talking about. Is it like literal?
Why can't people just see it as a work of art? If you go to a museum and you see art, you don't say, I wonder if that person was really stabbing that person, or you know, like if you were to see a portrait of death or something like that.
Yeah.
You're not going back in your mind like, oh, who was this? You know, you're more thinking like, wow, that's really kind of intense, or that's really kind of like whatever, you know what I mean? I just don't understand why people have taken it to a whole other spectrum, and it's become like this whole controversial thing that really doesn't even make sense to me.
And there's a bigger picture to it than just like her relationship with Jay-Z, you know, it's all about, especially including Trayvon Martin's
mm-hmm.
mother and everything, it's like more about like, it's political as
well.
Yeah,
so yeah. She's making all kinds of statements.
Yeah.
I feel like she's trying to say to us, you know what, I'm human just like you all are. I go through things just like you all do. And you know what, we all kind of experience things in life. So, I don't know, I really enjoyed, I mean, it was really kind of somber and it took me a minute to kind of get past the somberness to kind of really enjoy the work, but once you get past that, it's like, wow, this is like really incredible.
Yeah, I like how artistic it is, how much thought is put into it.
It's something different as well,
what kind of genre of music is this? It's like, it's everything. It's like,
it's not just generic pop, like, it's
right.
very, like, interesting and, like, actually art.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I loved it.
I give it a thumbs up.
Yay! Thanks, Sarah.
Okay, thank you guys.
So that's, I guess, kind of concludes our talk, our girl talk, unless you have something else you'd like to add.
No. Yeah. Thanks, Sarah, for our girl talk.
Yay. Oh, and
segment.
Yeah, and you know what? Actually, I wanted to mention this earlier when she was here that, you know, we've done this segment with her for 3 shows now, and I think I kind of like it. I hope, you know, listeners like it, and we can continue to kind of chat with each other.
Yeah.
Girl talk.
Girl talk.
Okay, so we're going to jump right into the news. In retail news, Business Journal's Fashion Group, or BJI, trade show has been acquired by UVM. So this is big news because it's been every fashion magazine, you know, you see it everywhere. It was like breaking news this week. So UVM, the world's leading business-to-business events organizer and marketing services organization, announced that it has acquired BJI on April 22nd, so earlier this week. BJI organizes leading fashion events in New York and Las Vegas featuring marquee properties such as Accessories, The Show, Fame, Moda, Stitch, and Mr. Market. And publishes related trade magazines including Mr. and Accessories. Through this acquisition, UVM expands its U.S. fashion event portfolio, adding BJI's brands to its Magic, Project, Coterie, FN Platform, and other fashion events. The integration of these two complementary businesses and Hallmark fashion brands will make shopping the market more seamless and efficient for all. Additionally, the experience for buyers and brands at each show will be elevated as market dates, locations, and show configurations will be organized in ways that best serve market needs. All BJI brands and retailers will gain access to UVM's digital wholesale marketplace for the fashion industry, Shop the Floor. This is great because I attend most of these shows, and what, you know, I'm not sure if you're familiar, we've kind of like talked about different, like we let, you know, listeners know when certain shows are in town here and stuff. But what's really good about this is that, at least for me, because I'm lazy, and so now I don't have to go and, go to each show or go to each platform and, you know, I guess reserve my ticket or my attendance there.
Yeah, that's super nice.
So you just do it one time and it's just across the board.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I think that's really great.
This is less exciting news, but it wouldn't be our 50th episode if we didn't bring a sad retail story.
I know.
This is the fashion of what we've been doing.
Oh my
gosh. So it's more store closings for Sears Holdings. They're closing 78 stores, which is 68 Kmarts, and 10 Sears stores this summer, which I can attest to. You know,
yeah, you see
I've
it
seen,
all over, right?
Oh yeah, I've seen a lot of Kmarts with signs like closing. So,
Man.
I haven't seen any Sears.
I've seen Sears, not Kmart. But yeah. I'm like a big Kmart fan, but I don't know where they are in New York. Like, I know when I lived in Delaware that they had them. And when, you know, they have all like the cool little trinkets and stuff.
Yeah.
I guess Sears kind of does too, but I wish I was near Kmart that was going out of business so that, because I'm sure they have like super sales.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what they're doing?
I'm not sure, but probably. They have to get rid of everything.
Yeah.
So, and a statement from Edward S. Lambert, he's the chairman and CEO of Sears Holdings, he said, "The decision to close stores is difficult but a necessary step as we take aggressive actions to strengthen our company and fund our transformation and then restore Sears Holdings to profitability." So I think that's the main thing. They weren't profitable, which is why they had to close those down. And so they're really just focusing on their best members and their best categories and their best stores to do that transformation. So nearly all of the Kmart stores and Sears stores will close in late July, and then two Kmart stores will close in mid-September. And they expect those store closures to generate a meaningful level of cash from the liquidation of store inventory and from the sale of some of the real estate. So that's how they're going to build it back up.
Yeah.
And then they are in over $1.2 billion in debt financing.
Yeah.
So they announced that earlier this month. And so, you know, now they're taking a step to move towards profitability, which is the main thing.
Yeah, I think what they want to do is, you know, the sales of all the merchandise and also, you know, selling off the properties and stuff that they can pay back their debts and kind of start afresh. Okay, so sadly, on April 20th, singer, songwriter, entertainer, musician, philanthropist, and music icon Prince passed away. I was totally devastated because I grew up on, like, it was just totally devastating. To date, there is still no revelation as to how Prince has died, but it's a major loss for the world at large. 5 days earlier, on April 15th, Prince was rushed to the hospital after an emergency landing in Moines, Illinois. I'm so sorry if I butchered that. An autopsy has been completed, but it may be weeks before we actually find out the results. According to friends and associates, Prince seemed healthy and normal leading up to the day before he died. Prince collapsed in an elevator in his Paisley Park studios. An ambulance was called. They tried to resuscitate him, but with no avail. He passed at 10:07 a.m. Thursday morning. Prince was only 57 years old, and he will sorely missed.
Huge music icon.
Yeah.
Okay, now for business events in New York City on May 2nd through the 4th, Accessories the Show is back in town, and it is the world's largest jewelry accessory show, and this is the April edition, so it's going to be a huge diverse grouping of all product categories, and it's going to be some of the most in-demand styles, sought-after brands, and must-haves, so if you're a fashion retailer, you should go check it out, and it is at the Javits Center, as most of those big shows are, so it's huge place, so you know, just knowing how big that place is, there's tons of people that are going to be there.
Yeah,
so.
And it's usually like, I don't know, thousands, hundreds, maybe thousands of vendors. It's like sometimes you can't finish it in one day.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's like a two-part thing.
Yeah.
So. But if you are in New York, you can get your tickets at accessoriestheshow.com. Or I mean, if you're not in New York, it's a good time to come to New York. City. Yeah.
Okay, so in LA is the 2016 Los Angeles Business Journal Women's Summit. It will be held at the JW Marriott at LA Live, 900 West Olympic Boulevard. This year, the Business Journal will curate several forum discussions that will begin with a breakfast and progress through a series of speakers. The speaker panel begins at 7 a.m. through 11 a.m., and there will be an awards luncheon that will begin at 11 through 1:30 p.m. Attendees will have an opportunity to be inspired by local women executives sharing their expertise in wealth, wellness, and wisdom. There will be 15 dynamic women there speaking. It sounds like a great event. It sounds like it'll be very informative. So if you're in the LA area, you should definitely try to attend. For more information on tickets, you can reach out to the events manager, which is Adrienne Tumayan. The email for her is atumayan, and it's A-T-O-U-M-A-Y-A-N at labusinessjournal.com. Or head over to eventbrite.com/women's summit tickets and purchase your tickets there. It's only $75 to attend.
For events in New York City, right here in New York on Sunday, June 19th, there's going to be the Egg Rolls, Egg Creams, and Empanadas Festival. I just had to include that because, I mean, look at that name. That sounds very enticing to me, at least.
Egg cream, egg rolls, and empanadas.
Yes. So it will be from 12 to 4 at the museum at Elbridge Street, and it's a celebration of the Lower East Side and Chinatown. And then this year they're also celebrating Puerto Rican culture. So before it was just the Lower East Side and Chinatown, so now with the Puerto Rican culture, they're bringing in the empanadas. So I think it used to just be the egg rolls and egg creams.
Oh, okay.
And now it is empanadas.
That's kind of
so.
like two spectrums of Chinese food and Spanish food.
Yes, and then old school New York food. It's so funny. So it's a huge Black festival, and it happens every year. And besides eating all of these awesome traditional foods, there are going to be performances. There's art activities. There's mask making I've heard about, and also you can take a quick language lesson. They are teaching Yiddish, Spanish, and Mandarin.
Wow!
So if you want to learn a language, just practice and show up there, and it's free to attend, which is awesome.
That sounds enjoyable. Okay, so we don't normally talk about these kinds of events, but since we were talking about Beyonce, I thought I'd bring up the New York City Illuminati Party. Okay. Okay, so it's on Wednesday, May 4th at Gelso and Grand, or it might be pronounced Gelso and Grand, on Grand Street from 8:30 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. If you don't know what an Illuminati Party entails, this one will have performances, and some of the best comedians which have been seen on TV, such as Comedy Central, SNL, Chelsea Lately, Last Comic Standing, Jimmy Fallon, and David Letterman. And, of course, it's free. So it's, why not? You should attend if you're in the area. Just RSVP on Eventbrite, and you won't have to pay the $5 cover that I guess they will ask for at the door if you don't RSVP in advance.
But I did not expect an Illuminati party to be
a
comedy
so
show.
I really want to understand what is an Illuminati party?
I don't know. It's not as interesting that it's comedians at an Illuminati party.
Does anyone know I don't even know what the whole Illuminati thing is.
I don't know, but Beyonce's involved, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's so part of it. She's the first Illuminati person.
Has she said that?
No.
Sarah, would you be able to look that up really quick and tell us if this is true?
Well, she was accused of being part of the Illuminati is an organization from hundreds of years ago or something about
That's Sarah McFall, everyone. Go ahead.
it's kind of a cult thing. And then Beyonce and Jay-Z were accused of being part of the Illuminati, and then because the Illuminati symbol is a triangle. And
right.
In Jay-Z and Kanye West song.
They go the rock symbol. But that's a diamond.
Yeah, but people are just insane and they thought that they were part of the Illuminati, and that's why she mentioned it in her song saying that's ridiculous stuff.
So she addressed it and said it's ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous too.
It's in one of her songs.
Her new song, she says, you're all corny with that.
Oh, that's right. Okay, all right. Yeah, you gotta bear with me, old brain. Okay. But yeah, so if you're interested in attending an Illuminati party, there's one available right here in the city. Okay, guys, so I think that kind of oh my gosh, the show went so quickly.
Yeah.
It's so bittersweet. Thrifty. It's bittersweet. Wait, I know listeners can't, actually see, but we have 50, we don't even know where our lighters are, or where the lighter is.
Oh, it's over here. I got it.
Okay, so Kaylin's going to get the lighter, and we just want to thank all of our listeners and our viewers for, supporting us here on eClad Chat. We've had a great two seasons. I know we said this earlier, but it's just been phenomenal. The people that we've met. Kaylin's struggling here. The people that we've met and the opportunity to be able to sort of bring you guys, information, tools, and news that you wouldn't normally be able to ascertain anywhere else.
Yes, and I think it's also funny that we're finishing season 2 and doing episode 50 at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's a very monumental
show. It's fitting.
Yes.
Okay, so... I guess cheers to
cheers.
Our 50th show. Ready?
Happy 50th episode!
Happy 50th episode.
Season 2 finale.
Woohoo! All right, guys, so that ends our show. Remember, love life and wear it well. Be sure to be, like, you know, paying attention to our social media platforms to find out when, because we don't have an exact date yet, as to when the next show begins. Till next time, have a great night and a better weekend.
Eclad is a boutique for luxurious handmade goods. From jewels to leather to fashion accessories, our merchandise is 95% handcrafted, made from the finest of materials from across the globe. Exceptional and brilliant quality is the absolute standard here at Eclad. The majority of the items we carry are one of a kind and completely unique, with only a limited number ever produced. Our collection is diverse, offering you a plethora of accoutrements to select from. The decor of our boutique is both contemporary and elegant, a unique fusion of an exclusive and indulgent shopping experience coupled with New York's social scene and lifestyle. We invite you to come experience our 57th Street Oasis. But if you're not in New York, just head over to eclad.com for your one-of-a-kind, beautiful, artistic find. And remember, love life and wear it well.